Welcome back to the Healthy Business Podcast. I'm Ty King from American Business Engine. With me, as always,
Jessica Tolliver with CAM Collaborative.
And we have a special guest today. You want to introduce yourself, or you want me to do the grand introduction for you?
Grand introduction. Let's go with
grand introduction.
Yes.
The woman who had her 9-year-old dress her this morning so that she could be on a podcast and then go have lunch with Governor...
Gubernatorial candidate. You know, it's really super rude if you make your guests coffee out of their nose.
It is. But I live with her because we're married. Mm-hmm. Tara King with City of Hope Outreach.
Yep, that's right.
That's right. Okay, that was correct. Correct information. So, how are you guys?
I'm good.
I'm good. I'm not really a morning
Are you
person.
Awake yet? Yes. Yeah. Oh, no. We record this.
I'm trying to wake up.
We record pretty early in the morning, and so that's why you always see us with coffee cups, and sometimes yours because it's green and blends in.
I know.
Sometimes I have to wear shirts.
I am going to get a Healthy Business Podcast coffee cup that is not green.
Yes, matte colors where it doesn't
nice.
Know,
yeah, black.
It just absorbs everything.
I'm going to get, and then maybe if you're good, I might make you one too.
Hey, I would appreciate that.
Yeah. I might even make a guest one.
Your
we'll
coffee
see.
Cup says, "But first coffee."
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yep.
First coffee. We'll get to the
well, that's from the, remember the Mug Mondays I did for a while before COVID?
Yes.
I collected some coffee cups, and that was a lot of fun, and then COVID happened, and it crashed and burned. And here we are now doing podcasts, which is, you know, you
it's
evolve.
Kind of evolve, yeah, yeah, evolution. So we're here now.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and I'm doing pretty well, I guess. I'm just drinking coffee, and I'm getting charged up now. So
have
the
a pretty
rocket
good
fuel.
Week.
Man, this week has been completely just slammed. Like, it feels like my calendar, every time I look at it, it just feels like, I don't know, you know, like when Ant-Man shrinks in the movies, you know, that's what it feels like my calendar is doing because it's just weighed down on so many different things on in each hour of the day. Too much stuff overlapping on top of each other. So I'll be glad for next week when I get to relax a little bit, calm down.
Excellent.
Yeah, even this weekend we're doing some volunteer work for Quad by Quarter, the tour of homes, and this will be fun.
Excellent, yes.
So, with you being here,
yes,
as your guest, City of Hope Outreach, what is that?
So, City of Hope Outreach, or as we like to call it, CoHo, is a nonprofit that's located in Conway, Arkansas, and we serve under-resourced communities. And we have several different resources available and different departments that are available to help out with utility assistance, rental assistance. And then we also have an academy. We have a transitional home for men. And then we're working on Hope Village, which is actually going to be 10 tiny homes that will house homeless individuals and veterans.
Excellent.
That's awesome. So is that pretty common for, I guess, under-resourced serving nonprofits to have the tiny home villages, or is that a first? Or?
No, this will be the first in Arkansas.
Okay.
Yeah, I know I've heard about it in other areas from here, but that's excellent that we're bringing that here. How'd you get involved with that?
I just really have always been a proactive person that wants to help my community and help people. And I was familiar with the City of Hope Outreach. I'd done some, we did a fundraising event with the Pancake House that one time, and we also attended some fundraisers. And I just really liked, I liked their mission and what they stood for. Their mission statement is they just treat everybody with dignity because they're human beings that deserve dignity and respect no matter where you come from. Everybody is allowed to sit at the table, and if the table gets too crowded, then we build a bigger table.
Nice.
And that's really how I feel about situations and how I feel about people. You know, everybody is going through something, and everybody needs a little help sometimes, and we're there to help.
So what exactly is your position there? What do you do?
So whenever you bring up a nonprofit, you talk about, like, different job titles. In a nonprofit, you wear a lot of hats in one day. You can wear a lot of hats. So technically, my title is engagement director. But in doing that, I am the administrative director. I also work in HR, which is what we like to call human flourishing. And I'm also
WHF.
I'm also the community outreach director. So I do the event planning and fundraising, and I also am the volunteer director, so I do all of the volunteering, recruiting volunteers for events and keeping up with their hours and maintaining their hours. So I do a lot.
But yeah, we have a nonprofit as well, Arkansas Care Village, and so I know exactly like what you're talking about. You can only afford to hire two people, you got one person,
lots
and they got to do five jobs.
But I love it.
Excellent. So do you feel like you, because I know you owned your own business for a while and we're doing Pretty Breads and some other things. How do you feel like that helped you transition into this area?
Definitely connecting with people and networking.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that a lot of people followed me on Pretty Bread whenever I went on that journey. They stayed with me through my transitions of
mm-hmm.
moving forward, like what is the next thing that I'm going to be doing and how am I going to get the community involved in this, and they follow that. And so whenever I transitioned into this job and started working at a local nonprofit,
mm-hmm.
I let people know about it, and people keep up.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that were already supporting me doing Bread or supported me running for city council in 2018 follow me and support me in being a part of this nonprofit now. So
excellent.
So wearing a lot of hats, and you're filling a lot of different roles
for
a nonprofit. And notoriously, you know, nonprofits, unless you're just one of the huge mega nonprofits, really, they don't pay, you know, $1 million a year for salary, right? So for you to be doing all these responsibilities, and you've worked your way up to getting this position, is it something you have a passion for, or what is the purpose? Why are you in this?
I absolutely have a passion for this, but you know that because you're my husband.
Yeah, we're talking to an audience. I'm getting around a question so that you can give an answer.
He's
lobbing
you good questions.
Yes.
So yeah, I definitely am passionate about this. It's been something that I've cared deeply for. I guess I have a servant's heart. My mom was in social work, and still is, and I guess I just grew up around that heart and passion, and it's either for you or it's not. And for me, I can't seem to get away from it. So I definitely feel drawn to it, and I definitely feel like I thought I was going to take different avenues in my life to help people, you know, from taking a political route or taking, you know, getting my law degree to being an environmental attorney to, well, I'll just help out locally to, oh, well, I don't have the patience for any of that and to wait. I want to be right there, right now, helping people every day. And so this was where I was drawn to, being right here in the middle of the community that I live in, where my child goes to school, where we, you know, have set our foundations and roots. I want to better that community, and so this was the way to do that. Every single day is a completely different day at work, and every single day we're ready to meet these individual needs on a case-by-case basis.
For sure. And while we primarily, you know, what we're usually up here talking to either business owners or entrepreneurs or somebody that's, you know, in charge of, you know, C-level executives, you know what I mean? Usually. We also talk about, you know, the direness and, like, how you have to have some people, the right people in positions to actually make the business work, because it can't just be a one-man show. I mean, it can work like that temporarily.
Well, we make that happen, right?
So we talk about that a lot. But then eventually, when you're needing to grow and, like, you only have so many hours throughout a day, and we talk about that, you know, giving healthy boundaries to when do I clock out and allow myself to actually have time to myself and, you know, rejuvenate so that I can carry on the next day and do what I need to do, you know, very well,
mm-hmm.
instead of just being tired and then get burnt out and exhausted and then everything just crashes to the ground. So having a Terra in place is very important, eventually in all businesses. And so I guess, how do you see your role in what you do in your nonprofit? Like, how important is what you do?
That's it.
I was going to say, that's a loaded question. Like, I really think what I'm doing is important.
It's changing the world by being a part of that.
Okay.
I think
but
that...
That's obvious to us. But if you ask me, like, how am I changing anything? Like, that really puts me on the spot. That puts the spotlight on me, and I'm like, well, like, I see it, but now I've got to put it into words.
Okay.
And so we're putting you on the spot, you know.
Okay.
By we mean he.
Yeah, right?
We.
Okay.
This is a partnership, you know?
So... How do I see myself
changing? I'm the devil on this shoulder. She's the angel over there on that side.
And that's a rarity for me. I don't know.
So what was the question again? How do I see myself changing?
Oh, like roles like yours. We'll say in businesses you've seen. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, you've been working for this nonprofit for a while. You've networked with other nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
And you've even run your own business. How is having a role like yours important to having a business. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
I was gonna come at it
from a different direction. I think I
okay.
understand. So there's a thing in business is promoting to failure. So
yeah.
putting people that are good at something into
mm-hmm.
the wrong position. What's it like having had been found, or you found them, they found you, however that connection happened, putting you in that role obviously isn't failure. Like, how do you feel like that connection was made to get the right person in the job?
Yeah. So when I actually, funny story, when I actually first applied for COHO, I did not apply for this position. I applied for homeless prevention case manager. And I was just wanting to, you know, get an interview and check out and see what COHO was about. And I knew that they were building Hope Village, but there was just so much that I just did not know until I got involved. And they're open to doing tours and talking to anybody about it and sharing information. But I applied for the homeless prevention case manager, and that's more along the lines of like paperwork, administrative, mm-hmm. and hard lines with bureaucracy and DHS that you have to follow. The person that interviewed me was actually the administrative director at the time. She said, I really don't think this job is a fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like you would be better suited for this job, and this is volunteer coordinator, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I would be setting up events, working with people, networking, getting out there, talking, and bringing volunteers in. And I was like, that's me. That sounds more like me. I like that. So I actually reapplied, and then interviewed for that position. But even then, going in for that interview, I had no idea what like the whole entire job entailed, because
mm-hmm.
they just kept saying, we wear a lot of hats,
mm-hmm.
you take on a lot of different roles. And even then in the interview, I was like, what exactly am I going to be doing? And they were just like, whoo. So they started me out really easy, basically just event coordinating, keeping up with volunteer hours, and managing the hours monthly whenever
mm-hmm.
they come in on a spreadsheet. And I was like, okay, I got this. But then I came in October, and that was in the middle of Trunk or Treat happening, Christmas store happening, and all of the fall events that were coming up. So that was crazy to be thrown into that. The first event that I actually put on was Trunk or Treat. I started October 4th, and I believe it was on Halloween that the first event was. And I was just like, I've never done this before. I've never done event planning. I had no idea. So what do I think, like, my skill sets that I saw in myself were I didn't see them immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never done this before, and so there was some reservation on my part of, like, can I even do this? What am I stepping into? But then over Christmas break, Dr. Fletcher, which is my boss and the founder, oops, that's me.
Time to drink some water.
I'm supposed to drink water.
Yeah.
So this is when I get up at 9. But he offered me the position to move up. And I was like, do you think that I'm the right person for this? So I believe he actually saw that in me before I did. Stepping into this role when I came back in January after only being hired there for 3 months was a whirlwind. And I had no idea how to run this department and also run this department.
Mm-hmm.
And so I literally split my desk down the middle. On this side is outreach, and on this side is like HR and administration. And then I just got to work, just trying to set schedules and figure out what I need to do, and what does an administrator do? What does HR part do? What does the outreach part do? How can I correlate and like bring all of that together to be one functioning title? And here I am. Like, it's now May, so.
Well, I love your story, and from a business standpoint, it's really a good parable about not looking at someone who's applying for the accounting job as an accountant. You look at them as a person.
Yes.
And I think that's brilliant that they were able to do that. They were able to look at you and say, oh man, you are a talent. You're great. We need you. Just not where you think you need to be.
Yep.
Sure.
So they saw something in you that you didn't see, and then they, as the employer, as whatever the HR person, had that tenacity, that perseverance to push through your reservations
mm-hmm.
and say, no, I see something. Let's put you over here, not into failure. Let's put you into success, and look how passionate you are now.
Yeah.
being a part of a nonprofit, no matter what area you're in, is like being an entrepreneur because you have to wear so many hats. You have to take responsibility for the business, much like an entrepreneur does, even though you don't own the business. Every person who works at a nonprofit technically kind of has to have that I own this business mentality.
And every role is important.
Yeah, for sure. And have to have a similar drive for you. We talk about that when we hire on. And a lot of the times it's hard to gain, a profit business, it's hard to get your employees to be as excited about growth of your business as you are. And so I've seen it done successfully a few times. I visited Apogee last week, and like everybody there seems genuinely happy. And I'm like, okay, either they're manufacturing these people or they're actually happy here.
And if you are manufacturing them, how can I put my
That's
order
genius.
In?
That's genius, exactly. Yeah. Give me that machine. No, but like there's plenty of times where people are like, yeah, I don't care. Just come in, I'll clock in, do my stuff. You know what I mean? Even if they're good at what they do, you know, they're not really passionate about their job because they don't really have stakes in it.
Mm-hmm.
But with the nonprofit, you know, organizations, like if you're like you have the drive for that, right? So you want to help community, you have a heart for it, and you're like, this is where I can put my energy and see an actual, you know, positive outcome in this.
Yeah.
And so it's important to have those types of people inside your nonprofits. And so I'm sure if you're interviewing and then there's some people that are just trying to get a job, I don't know why you would just apply it for a nonprofit when you're just trying to clock in, clock out, because that's not the type of thing you do, right?
Very set reasons, I guess.
Yeah, there are other reasons. So you serve the, you said the
under resource
communities. Okay, so does that also include, I assume, the unsheltered and homeless?
Mm-hmm.
And so, what does that process look like? Because if like nobody knows what this is, you know, what actually goes on, we know there are services like DHS and the state, you know, provides some other resources, and then we know there's other nonprofits and churches that try to help, you know, here and there. But like it's kind of like politics for me. I don't dive into it, you know. I just assume things that probably aren't true, you know. So if somebody sees somebody, because I know we at the, I'm getting around to this.
There's like a question that lasts this long, and he looks at me, he's like, why are you looking at me like that?
I'm
like,
I'm waiting. Go on.
Except for this is just with regular conversations at home every night.
Yeah, I kind of give, you know, the pre-story, and then we get to the question.
But then he
says
that I take too long when I'm asking something.
No, when you tell me the answer, that's what takes too long. I'm like, are you coming home? Well, there was a da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
You need to know the backstory to know where I'm headed.
You didn't answer yes or no.
To know my future.
I still need a definitive answer to that at the end. Okay, so we had we took part of the fundraiser, the Unseen campaign for you guys. And then somebody was kind of upset because they saw that there was an actual homeless person on the street. And then they were like, well, why can't you guys just go help that person?
Right.
So what does that process look like for the layman that doesn't know how this actually works?
For the layman homeless person or for the layman?
No. For the average citizen.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that. So really to know how to help a person that's in need of help, you first need to ask them what's going on. You need to start conversations. You need to approach them and talk to them. You have to build a relationship with them, just like you built a relationship with her to be able to partner up and do this. And just like we built a relationship before, every single like interaction is a chance to get to know more about their situation, because chances are whenever you're first meeting them, you're seeing like this much of all this going on here. Homeless is only a part of what's going on. There's so much more. Usually a lot of times homeless people just enjoy talking. You just sit back and just listen to them. But to answer your question, it's really not just one program that helps homeless individuals. It's a continuum of care that we need in the community. And what that would look like is not just, hey, is there a homeless shelter that this person can go to? It's, is this the right place to send this person? Like you were saying, you know, you don't really know what you would do, or you don't really know as much about the programs that are available in your area to be able to send someone over there to that. Because you don't know everything that's available. So first it would be educating the community and taking the time to do those things like Unseen Campaign, where we raise awareness to the amount of homeless individuals, and we raise awareness to the programs that are there supporting them, and we raise awareness to how people that are on the street can see a homeless person and interact, or at the very least, pass information. If nothing else, pass information. If you have a card, or if you have one of our brochures, or if you have one of my cards even, hand that card to them, because if you can't do anything else, you can at least get them the card that can get them to the place. You know what I mean? So the continuums of care, however, are, you know, we have a domestic violence shelter. We are now approved for an emergency shelter that's probably not going to be here for a couple of years. Other than that, we have a couple of transitional homes, and we have, you know, some other resources that are there. But we need all of those resources working in tandem in order for this to work, because one person goes into one shelter, they may not necessarily need to stay there for a long time. They may just need transitional housing temporarily until they can get out and, you know, get back on their feet and flourish again as human beings. However, this person might have an addiction problem. They don't need to go to that transitional housing. They need to go to this rehousing situation or rehab or something like that. And then you have people that come in off the streets or come in out of incarceration as transitional homes for men. Those are ways to get people back on their feet and get them into programs that are wraparound, that help them get involved, that help them gain skill sets to put on resumes, to apply for jobs, so that they can save money, so that they can, you know, figure out how to function in society without needing those helps, like those extra programs.
Right.
So really, it's a continuum of care. What happens after we get them off the street? Well, they can't just stay in a shelter for 2 or 3 weeks and then just leave again. That's a turnaround service that's not doing anything for anybody. We need programs, and we need sustainability, and it needs to start with getting them off the street, but then there needs to be like a process of how do we get them through these programs, get them back on their feet so that they have the tools that they need so that they can flourish in society as human beings.
So your question actually reminded me of a movie, something from the 80s. I can't remember which one it was, but there was somebody who was a regular, normal, average person, had a home, had a job, had a whatever, but for whatever reason, they fell in the mud, but there was it was a comedy. Someone started trying to help them and was chasing them down and forcing help upon them, which made me think about that, is that you can't force the wrong help on someone because it's not helpful. That leads me to the actual question, which was, so from a business standpoint, I want to help my community, but I don't want to quit my job and come work for you. I don't want to also just throw money at things that I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't also necessarily have time to come volunteer at all the things. Besides just throwing money, writing checks, because a lot of entrepreneurs don't have a lot of behind those checks. What can a business owner do to be a part of the community and help your nonprofit and others like yours in a way that it makes sense for an entrepreneur, helps them be a part of it in a way that they can? What does that look like?
So we have several different departments within our personal nonprofit, and one of the things that we have is a market, and the other thing that we have is a actual community garden.
Mm-hmm.
So if health or nutrition was something that you were invested in, you wanted to help bring that to your community, especially in under-resourced areas where it's hard to get fresh produce, you could donate seeds,
mm-hmm.
or maybe if you don't have a whole lot of time to volunteer, you could plan out like an hour or two on a day where we were doing like a whole day of gardening or something like that. But it also looks like getting food to the market,
mm-hmm.
so that we can get it out to people that are in need. So if you didn't want to write a check, then you could always pick up groceries,
mm-hmm.
and donate them, or donate groceries, or help write grants, or help look for grants for us,
mm-hmm.
so that we can apply for them. We're in the process of doing that right now with our academy. And I've never written a grant before, so I'm super excited that I get to be a part of this process. Another skill set that you
mm-hmm.
learn, and you learn so much being at a nonprofit. But you could help with things like that. Partnerships are always encouraged. There's so many different ways that you can help. That's not just, hey, I don't want to write a check, and I also don't have time to volunteer, but how can I help? Well, there's a lot of times where we have hygiene and supply drives for the whole department, because that's how we function, and that's how we have our stuff for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do a drive, and we'll make like a Amazon wish list, or we'll make an actual list, and we'll throw it out there to the community and say, hey, these are the things that we need,
mm-hmm.
and if you can help us provide these things, awesome. And that really goes a long way too, because it helps us have the office supplies and the tools that we need to be able to continue outreach.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I know sometimes I'm on Amazon, I have to buy paper, whatever, cups, things for the office. It would be no big deal to throw an extra pallet, that'd be a big deal.
Yeah,
I mean, like a ream of paper
pallet.
Or,
yeah.
You know, a box of tampons or,
absolutely.
You know, whatever. That would be a small add-on in my business expense that I could easily do and put out to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have is there a tab on your website that I could go and look at and say, okay, well, I can see this charity that I care about I care about it, but not enough to actually sit there and learn a lot about it.
Yeah.
I love the overview, but that's about the amount of time as I have, so
gotcha.
I think you're a good deal. Let me help you out. Is there a place I could go to and kind of get an idea of what you guys are needing, and when I come across that and I can provide it, how I know it's something I can get to you?
Yeah, there's a link. I don't know if it's on our website, but it is an Amazon wish list that I created back in February
mm-hmm.
to get out there, and
mm-hmm.
I can send that link out.
Are you on the SMILE program?
Yes,
excellent.
We are.
Yeah.
I was going to bring that up too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are on the SMILE program, and you can also set, I believe you can do this with nonprofits whenever you're shopping for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can set it to where it donates a certain percentage to a nonprofit of your choice.
Mm-hmm.
So you can set it as City of Hope Outreach too, and that will help.
And I'm sure we're going to put the link in the podcast.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. Yeah. It's already on my mind. Going back to what you were talking about with entrepreneurs and like what is a benefit for them being to help. They want to give back, but also what is, you know, something that you can give back to them. What are they getting out of it? You know, I mean,
tax write-off.
No. Nothing is completely selfless, right?
Well, you know,
there's a selfless act.
True. But there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it at all.
Having a give and take and something like that. So with our charity, we do that. We offer
mm-hmm.
tax receipts for any type of donations and things of that nature.
Sure.
For sure. I mean, I'm answering her question, so ignore me.
So, well, speaking from the other side of
we
that.
We have a
so
tax ID, too.
Uh-huh.
So speaking from the other side of that, being an entrepreneur who does like to volunteer
mm-hmm.
with a lot of nonprofits, and so, like, I went and visited the Sherwood Chamber yesterday for their lunch. They invited me out there. And, like, introduce yourself, and I was like, okay, well, you know, so we're full service marketing business, and so you'll see us, you know, building websites and doing social media management, but we also like to get out and volunteer for a lot of other nonprofits and give back to the community. And I was like, come for the marketing, stay for the humanity. And so being the type of person that likes to see, you know, I do what I do because I like to be able to do what I want to do, if
mm-hmm.
that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I'm building the websites and all this stuff, and, like, I'm good at that. But the passion really is being able to see a positive change. So being honored by the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation this year, just held a fundraiser. So, like, they invested in me, and now I'm giving that back to them. So that was a really smart play on their part,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, like, it's zero cost to them. I'm doing fundraising for them, plus I get to add something to my resume.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great exchange. That's a great partnership for us. And I'm learning more about the disease and, like, educating more people on it and then getting them more help so they can do the research and find a cure for it, because it's still something we don't have a cure for. So it's that. Of course, I'm on the board of two different nonprofits, one of them being the Young Professionals in North Little Rock, which helps develop other professionals. There's obvious, you know, benefits for me there. Being a professional, that gives me the relationships, it gives me a network where I can get more referrals in for my business and grow. On the board of Exodus Life, where we just made an announcement, we had a press conference this week where we were given a grant from federal government to start a three-year process, given $300,000 per year, that we can help people that are coming off a drug addiction, so to help the opioid crisis in Arkansas. And so with that, I'm able to go to these press conferences as well. Like, we're doing a great deed, and this sounds awful. And so it's doing a great deed for Arkansas and society and people, but also, like, I'm benefiting off of this too, because, you know, I get to take the photos and post all this, and it's like, it's not like, hey, look at me, I'm a wonderful person, but it does give my business more exposure,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's many different ways of getting more, like this weekend, we're volunteering for Quapaw House, not quite as, you know, a humanitarian event, because it's like their organization is for preserving, you know, historical houses, which
mm-hmm.
that's not saving lives, but I mean, it's just preserving some things.
Well,
that are
I mean,
to
you have to consider that
yeah.
it's not just about saving lives, it's about saving quality of life.
Sure.
And for some people, saving the
yeah.
historic homes reminds us about where this city began and how important it is to the people and the people who
mm-hmm.
built the houses and things of that nature. So,
for
I
sure.
mean, every nonprofit has its own little thing that it does help. And in
yeah.
the end of the day, it either helps save lives or helps save quality of lives. Even is even what you do is very much so quality of life.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, for sure.
So my nonprofit actually is designed to help other nonprofits do better at what they do. Because, like, you're involved in a lot of different, you know,
mm-hmm.
different areas. We feel like that there's not enough community among the nonprofits here in Arkansas, and little nonprofits get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And our mission is to use our resources to help them achieve their goals. So we partnered with the van over Christmas, and we did a coat drive for them, and we, you know, we're doing a 5K this weekend, and Path will be there, and, you know, we offered free space to any nonprofit that wanted to come, because our thing is we want people to be able to find all these little nonprofits that are doing great in the community and exponentially help them help the people.
Yeah,
great.
For sure. So there are benefits. I'm just, so I wasn't trying to turn this around about me and like how great I am, but I'm saying there's so many different nonprofits out there that are doing so many different missions,
mm-hmm.
and there's an easy way, like, just to, if you're an entrepreneur, like, you're supposed to be trained to see opportunity everywhere anyway, right? So, like, every time you open your eyes, there's an opportunity to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is just the need that's not being served.
Mm-hmm.
I can start this service, or I can provide this, or I need to connect these people together. So seeing that there are nonprofits that are already doing the work, it's rather than having to open your own nonprofit, you know what I mean? Which, I mean, great that you've done that, but you don't. There's a lot of great work that's already being done,
mm-hmm.
and so by investing in those, but like, there's always something that gives back and grows your business in kind. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah,
so
I think to circle back to the beginning, we were talking about, you know, how a business can be involved and what the
mm-hmm.
benefit is to them. And, you know, it's another point that you made earlier, it's nothing for her to say, hey, thanks to Cystic Fibrosis for spending the afternoon and educating us.
Yeah.
Yeah, her nonprofit can do that, and that gives them that
which
load.
I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I think that making sure as a business owner in your community, especially an entrepreneur that you're starting out and you're trying to get your name out there, helping these other nonprofits, even if it's just going to them and spending the day and learning, not even the day, an hour, and doing a one-to-one and learning about what they do.
Yep.
If I've come across someone who's in need, I have a name of a company in my mind that I can say, hey, these people might be able to help. And that's not in my wheelhouse, but it's in hers, and
yeah.
so I can make that connection. And it's definitely great for smaller, newer businesses, and, you know, all businesses really, to have a few nonprofits that they're friendly with, that
mm-hmm.
they can change those social shouts
yeah.
that are free. You know,
for sure.
That's a great way to be able to get some marketing that doesn't cost you a dime for both of you.
And I would say not just people that are starting out, because what I would like to see is more of the C-level executives that have been around, they've made it very successful. Rather than just write a check off and then write that off your taxes at the end of the year, why don't you get out there and do some volunteering? Do some work.
Well,
I
no.
understand.
Please still write the check.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The checks are nice, but I mean, still, like, when you're down, your boots on the ground, and you get down to somebody
mm-hmm.
else's level, like, we don't really appreciate people that cook our food until we get into the kitchen and start trying to help them and realize, oh, man, you're a master at this.
Mm-hmm.
So that type of thing. It's
mm-hmm.
like, if you want to see the work done, get on there and actually get your hands dirty a little bit. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would love to see more people that have made it successful that aren't just like, okay, just a check. That's
well,
how you get.
I think that part of that is back to her point at the beginning is education. I think a
yeah.
lot of these people get to where they are and then they're looking around and, you know, back to my point, oh, we all made points today. They don't know. They
yeah.
don't know what's in their community because it's not – you know, your little nonprofits don't have the ad budget to get
yep.
in front of their face.
Mm-hmm.
So finding ways to be a part of your community, find a nonprofit, network. I'm seeing a lot more nonprofits showing up at the networking events, getting in touch with them
yeah.
so that you can know how to do that. You know, a lot of people think that check is all they can do. And so they don't have the budget to do it, so they don't write the check. But if they were educated to know that when you can write the check, please write the check. But until then, these are the things you can do. You can come read to homeless children. You can come donate a box of tampons.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, come wash graffiti for an hour. You, there's all the different things that can
yeah.
be done, but maybe they don't know that that's possible.
Right. Like,
sure.
come volunteer at Academy in the afternoon for 2 hours. And, you know, these kids that come from these communities, that this is their after-school program.
Mm-hmm.
This is a place where we can build up confidence and help them with their homework and get them started on programs that are going to be fun, but also teaching and learn it. And it's you know, come see that, because that's the reason why we're in the process of writing this grant, is we want to be able to put more into that program so we can give more back to the community, specifically the community's children.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so
many
ways around
the children
it.
Break that cycle. That's the key. You know, you can help a 65-year-old homeless man by giving him shelter, giving him food, giving him those things, and that is important. I'm not saying that it's not, but if you teach his son or his grandson how to get out of that situation and then make something of themselves, giving them the resources that they didn't have access to, under-resourced.
Generational poverty.
Exactly. Then you can, that's when you can start making changes.
Yep. And awareness. One of the biggest things, too, is awareness. Just doing stuff like this, coming on here and just hanging out with you guys and talking about like what we do, how we help, how they can get involved. This outreach and this community involvement, it takes a village, and I literally mean that. It literally takes a village, a hope village.
With that. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
it takes a hope village. No, but it does, because unless you're ready to understand how this works, so that you can pass that information on to the next person. It's like a long, long, long game of telephone.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, then you tell someone else. Then if they run into a situation with their family members or friends or a loved one, they have that information they can now pass.
Right.
You guys now have this information you can pass. Everyone that listens to this podcast will now know a little bit more about City of Hope Outreach. And if not, they can go to our webpage, coho58.org.
There'll be a link in the show notes.
Said webpage. Show your age then.
Webpage. That's what it is, isn't it?
Get on the interwebs.
I always say, what do I say that annoys you?
It's like, go to www.
No, what is the thing that I say that always irritates you when I tell you I get things offline?
Yeah, like buying stuff offline.
I buy things
offline.
So
she'll buy something from Amazon and say, I bought it offline. It's like, no, that's online.
Well, she was online.
Offline
she,
is when you go to the store.
She took it off. She bought it off the line.
Well, you can twist it however you want to.
Hey, girl power.
We stick together.
All right. Either one of you have any other points you would like to make, or statements, comments?
I appreciate
theories,
you coming
theories.
On today. I appreciate the perspective, because although on the surface it looks like we're just promoting your nonprofit, which is important, I think that we were able to really get into the entrepreneurial side and how we as entrepreneurs can be a part of that. Like, I don't necessarily, well, I didn't start a nonprofit, but not every person wants to start a nonprofit, but they definitely. When you care about something so deeply that you want to build a business, you have that passion, and that passion can be shared with other areas of the world that you can make a difference in, for sure.
Yep.
Even on a local level.
Especially on a local level.
Yep.
And like I was saying before we got started, I was telling you this morning, we sort of just, we throw a thought out there, and then we work it out in live action,
yeah,
you know,
like,
in real time.
I was like, do I need to, are we going to talk
about
this?
No, there's no script here.
Nothing.
And like, each one
for.
Of us comes from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so you being somebody that owns a nonprofit, but you are also an entrepreneur that owns, you know, several of the businesses, and you working for a nonprofit and being the operational heart of that, and then me being an entrepreneur that invests in, back in volunteers into nonprofits. And so, like, we all have our own individual
Because it takes a village.
Because it takes a village. Yeah.
Everyone has a skill set, and you just have to tap into that. And so whether you're coming at it from, what can I use my skill set for to help others, or how can I take this skill set that I have and apply it to people, or, hey, I, you know, have this skill set, and I want to start something that will allow people to learn more and get more help, then, you know, everybody has something to bring to the table.
I would say investing in a nonprofit is not vampirism, because a lot of people see it like that. It's like, I'm not really getting anything out of this, and so like, you guys are doing your work, but like we were talking about, there are a lot of benefits for entrepreneurs,
mm-hmm.
to get back, and just the average citizen or C-level executive, board members, whatever it is, you know, there are lots and lots of benefits to be given back, and there's nothing wrong with that, because it's a partnership,
mm-hmm.
and so it's not just.
We all live
you.
In the same community.
We all.
And to that extent, we live in the same community, we live in the same state, the same country, we live on the same planet. And
we do. Most of the time, yeah.
And they're relational partnerships, too, so you never know what you're going to get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Building that relationship may start with just, hey, I'm passionate for the cause, tell me more about it,
mm-hmm.
to, oh, wow, I actually have some ideas on how I can help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool, let's set up a meeting and let's talk about it, let's brainstorm it, to, you know, this person actually ending up donating a bounce house for the kids and all the hot dogs and all of the games and stuff so that we could throw together a barbecue for the community and the kids on a whim. Those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, I have a big group of people that are coming in this summer that are volunteering. They're looking for some projects. Well, guess what? We're about to remodel this, this, and this, so bring them on. You know, I mean, it's just,
yeah.
It's reaching out and seeing how they can be of service to help us and how we can get them involved.
Absolutely.
Just like putting the pieces together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like that educating people that it can be absolutely, if someone offered to write you a $1 million check, you're not going to turn it down.
Nope.
But you also, if someone offered to come volunteer for an hour, you're also not going to turn that down.
Nope.
And I think that so a lot of people get mixed up and they think that they can't give a lot, that the gifts or their donation or their time isn't needed.
Or they get overwhelmed and they're so like excited and passionate about it and they want to just help in everything and do everything at once. And it's like, okay, I admire your enthusiasm and I see that you have a lot of passion, but let's tone that down and find that one thing that you're really good at
mm-hmm.
that would actually be beneficial to you and me both. Instead of just letting you loose and just flying everywhere.
Much like you're getting hired. You
yes.
have to have that little insight into people to help them, help themselves, help the business, help everything, absolutely. So for one last thing, now that you've experienced it as the person being hired, as the person being selected,
mm-hmm.
and now you're in the company and you're having to look at people that are coming to you with things that they want to help with and narrowing their focus, can you give a little bit of insight on things to look for and how you do that? Like how, because it's a hiring thing, basically. Even if you're hiring someone to donate their time, you're still hiring them to put them in a certain place, even if you're not paying them. You're still getting, want them to have value for the return
yeah.
for their investment.
So I go through it like a volunteer process. Anybody that is interested in volunteering can go to our page and sign up to be a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of like an interest form.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I want to volunteer. Okay, well, what do you want to volunteer with? There's this, 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 and this.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just check some basic things and then give me a little bit of it. Well, why do you want to volunteer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Sends to me. I open it. I read it. And then I'm like, hey, you know, is there some time we can get together this week? And so they'll get together and they'll fill out a volunteer application.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll bring them in and we'll just kind of interview. And in the interview process is really where it happens. It's like, okay, so here's what COHO is. Here's our mission statement. This is what we do. Here's our different departments. This is different places that you can volunteer at. What are you interested in?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you want to help with? And then a lot of times we can narrow down what their passion is, what they're wanting to do, and then we can figure out how we can best plug them in
mm-hmm.
where it's showing off their best skill set, but it's also benefiting us too because we're putting them in a place where they're going to thrive, they're enjoying where they're at,
mm-hmm.
and so they're going to come back and
right.
volunteer again. And they like it. So that's what we kind of do. We just figure out, well, what do you like to do? How can you help? How can we get you involved? We just kind of discuss it away until it's like whittling. You just
mm-hmm.
keep chipping away until you have something.
See the art piece beneath.
Yes.
So what, do you run into that a lot where someone comes in and says, man, I've always wanted to build houses. I think I watched Home Improvement. I'm the guy. And you're like, okay, which of these is a hammer? And they're like, hammer.
Oh, okay, so somebody that's super passionate but like has no experience,
no experience, no skill, no, and would not thrive. How do you run into that a lot? And if so, how do you maybe massage them into a different direction if you need to?
I'm pretty blunt. So so what'll happen is if they come in and say they want to volunteer for Academy, but I don't really see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be like, you know, not everybody needs to work with kids, and that's okay. How about we put you in the garden, you know, out there taking care of some plants? And we'll see how that goes. You know, it's just kind of maneuvering around. The people will come in and they'll be excited. Oh, I want to volunteer and do this. Well, I think it's just kind of feeling them out.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it comes down to. And then there's always like a probation period where it's like, let's try you out over here. And I'll get with our director after you volunteer the first time and see if it's a good connection.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that there's good relationships being built here and positive relationships. And so I'll get with her and I'll be like, hey, so how'd this person do? Or I'll get with the academy director, how did this person do? And if they're, you know, shy and holding back and not really interacting with the kids or not really doing something, I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's not their best place. Maybe
mm-hmm.
they would be better out there in the market where they're interacting with adults that are coming through to
mm-hmm.
get their food orders. Or maybe they're better out there doing inventory or something like that. So we just kind of go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
We feel it out. I think it has to do with being able to kind of read people and know that they want to help, but then trying to figure out where's the best place to put them.
Gotcha. Well, that's excellent hiring advice, I think.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it like that, you look at someone and you're like, oh, okay, I'm hiring for front desk, and someone comes in and they're just not personable.
Yeah.
If they come in with like 14 spreadsheets and you know, an accounting degree, you might be like, well, you know, bookkeeping's open.
Yeah, we're looking for an intern.
Right. So yeah, I think that's excellent to really, and we mentioned it a little bit earlier, to really look at people. Like volunteers, finding out what they're passionate about.
Yeah. That's kind of what happened to you too, though, right? You went in for an interview for one position, and then oh, you're right for this other position, and that opened up this whole world.
Sort of. I applied for the
position,
and before I even went in for my first interview, she was like, I don't think, here, how about this? And I was like,
well, she had obviously
okay.
done some research on you.
Well, she was my friend. She
and
knew
had some
me.
Experience
yeah.
with doing that, for sure.
I research my friends, you know what I mean?
Cool.
She knew I like to get out there and talk to people, and I'm involved in stuff in the community, so she was like, how about this?
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, then I really appreciate you coming in. I learned a lot today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Thanks for dragging her in and waking her up.
Literally dragging you in, right?
I still have outfit regret.
I think you'll look great.
Really?
We're going to use that. We're still using the Capitol background. Oh, my God, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really going to compliment your outfit.
All right.
There you go. If you are listening to this on any of the podcast services that are distributing podcasts across the globe, then you can also see the video, well, on Spotify now, because they added that, but also on YouTube. And if you're a video watcher, then you can also find us on any of the podcasting distribution channels across the web, from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all the above, and more.
I use Overcast.
Do you?
And we're there. I was subscribed.
Podbean, Overcast, all that stuff. Yeah, we're there too. I don't know. I gotta go through the really annoying part that everybody has to do. Please like, subscribe, review, interact, comment,
tell a friend. All
those things that my daughter says when she's just walking around the house pretending like she's on the show for some reason.
I love it.
Yeah, and
well,
until the next time, you guys, I'm gonna say bye.
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 You guys say it the same way. Keep your business healthy.